Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It is the second to last live broadcast for 2014, and we're lucky to have real estate expert John Brashear on the line with us in just a couple of minutes. He's going to be talking about all the things you need to know this holiday season if you are considering buying or selling a house, or even if you're a renter. What in the heck are you doing renting these days with interest rates as low as they are? We're live for the next hour, and if you want to call in at 323-657-1493, that is the hotline. You're welcome to call in and ask John a question. We'll be getting to him in just a second. I want to give some shout-outs to people who are coming onto the show tomorrow night. We've got Scott Lawrence. He is a DJ, producer, musician, and composer, and he corrected me to say, I'm not a singer, so he's not a singer, but he's going to be coming on to share his music that he produces for other people tomorrow night. I've just been exchanging emails and texts with him. I've got his music uploaded, and you're really going to like it. It's fun. And I think everything else, we can just wait for later in the show. It'll just keep you waiting with bated breath. So without further ado, John Brashear, welcome back to Rated G Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Garrett. How are you?
I'm good, but the housing market is really great right now, and I'm thrilled that you've taken time out of your schedule to break away from clients to come and spend some time with us tonight. So what's going on in real estate?
Well, all kinds of things, all good things in this standpoint. Of course, right now it's getting ready for Christmas, so a lot of people, you could say, traditionally are slowing down a little bit. But, you know, there's a lot of activity still, as you mentioned before, and thank you for. Interest rates are so low, you know, and take advantage of those. If you are a first-time buyer or you're, buying your second home, or if you're lucky enough to, buy an investment property.
So why is it so important that people take a look at the options between renting and making a decision to make a purchase, whether it's a first-time buyer or somebody who's been on the market before?
Well, because renting right now, you're, of course, with your rent, you're paying a landlord money. You're not getting any of all the value of being a homeowner, which you have your interest deductions when it comes to taxes. You have your equity that you're building on that. And then also, if you look at what real estate has, forget about the last 10 years, which, and I say forget about it, but that's one reason what the market is. You know, we had that bubble, but we have grown so much in double digits. Really, 2014, we more of a stabilizing year. You know, you're looking at modest growth, and I think they're looking at the growth of being about just under 6% for 2016. If you don't look at that, if you look at real estate, where if you hang on to property 4 years, 5 years, you know, it's really appreciating. So, you know, it's a good thing to own real estate as opposed to paying your landlord.
Well, you know, and one of the other things, I'm going to grill you on some Christmas questions at the end of our time tonight, but one of the other cool things about owning your own house is if you own your own place, you can put up your own Christmas lights.
Well, that's true, unless you have an HOA that has, you know, certain CC&Rs. You always need to check that, even with a home as opposed. Of course, you know, and of course that's easy enough to do. But you
there
can put up your own Christmas tree lights and do things like that, yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah, well, it is. You know, we've had such a growth in 2012 and 2013 from having recovering from, you know, prior years. And, 2014 actually kind of changed. We had a switch somewhere in the year, earlier, right before summer, that really came from a seller's market, which we were in for a few years before, and to a buyer's market. And that's more reason right now, if you can buy a home, added with the interest rates, and if you're not currently a homeowner, but if you're renting, the rents have gone up so much in the last 6 years, and they expect them to even go up even further. There was an LA Times article here recently cited from, and I think the research came from USC, and they were showing that in the markets here in LA, Orange County, we're looking at almost a little over 8% increase when it comes to rents. And then in the Inland Empire, if you're in California, It was going to be almost a 10% increase. So, you know, your average one-bedroom apartment, you know, goes up drastically from that. Then if also if you look at what the 10 highest markets are for renting right now, I mean, San Francisco, the average rent is a little over $3,300. New York is $3,000. Boston's a little over $2,300. And it goes down all the way down to L.A., Orange County is almost $1,700. Going down to rounding the top 10 off is Philadelphia at $1,400. So, if you know, you're thinking if you're paying that in rent and this is going up considerably, and you look at how much of your income's going to that, you know, it really would, I think, behoove a lot of people that become a first-time buyer or to actually look and see really interest rates are that low. I mean, they're the lowest they've been since May of 2013. You know, and depending on what your situation is, you know, if you go FHA or if you can go conventional or if you are a vet, you know, your VA is an excellent way to buy a home.
So let me ask you this. I have two questions here. First one, though, is you mentioned the top 10 rates for rents around the country, and San Francisco is number one at, like, I think you said $3,400. What does that get you?
What that gets you a one-bedroom apartment average.
You're kidding. $3,400 for
Yeah, can you imagine that? $3,000.
No, that's insane. Well, I'm glad I don't live there. Okay. So, go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm just, you know, if you can right now, it's a buyer's market. The interest rates are low. Yes, it's harder to qualify for a loan starting last year when they, you know, they had some Dodd-Frank activities come in, and then they did some criteria different when it came to the two loaning institutions, you know, the federal government uses to repackage loans, Fannie and Freddie Mac, and, you know, those type of things. But, you know, as interest rates that are under 4% in the high threes right now, and, you know, it's just it's a buyer's market. You know, buyers can ask for, you know, reduced closing costs. They can ask their seller to pay for the closing costs. They can ask for more.
So what happened? You said it happened mid-year, that it went from a seller's market to a buyer's market, at least here in Southern California. I mean, obviously, we get what a seller's market and a buyer's market is, but do you have a pulse on what took place that made that shift begin?
Well, it's, what happens is somewhere the inventory became roughly about 8% more, and this is probably right before summer, 8% more inventory on the market. So things that were on, not only the inventory increased, but the days on the market increased. You had such a increase, double digits, from 2012 and an earlier part of the year, and 2011, they kept growing because they were, you know, they were lower and they were doing that. You had a lot of people here in Southern California. You had a lot of people that were cash buyers, you know, and they were a tremendous amount, and they brought the market up there, you know. But somewhere that the criteria though of buyers became less. They were, as almost an 8% increase in inventory, there were 8% less buyers out there. Now, the good news, though, for sellers out there, those buyers were better qualified. They could move through a transaction, probably complete that better for, you know, a seller. And, you know, as a real estate agent, that's even better, too. So, you know, the pool was smaller, but it's better. Those combinations really kind of created, and then with interest rates being so low, a buyer's market.
So we know that the regulations and rules for qualifying for loans have changed since, you know, 2006, 2007, 2008, when we had the whole mess that was going on. What are some of the things that the lenders are looking for now when they are trying to qualify buyers compared to 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, what they have, which is different, is you have your criteria. I think there's many different things, and depending on which avenue you're taking, you know, I mean, you have your FICO scores. In other words, kind of maybe touching a little bit, this fall we had FICO come out and say, you know, we're going to reduce, look at our FICO scores a little differently. And then you have Fannie and Freddie asking in the Feds coming and saying, you know, we're going to do some stuff and loosening those controls. But earlier on, what the main things were was your debt ratio. I think the main thing that came in somewhere in January is that the debt ratio went from about 48% to 43%. Now, that's 5%, but that's major when it comes to qualifying for your loans. So that happened.
Well, I suppose it's going to make for better or more, like you said, you have better qualified buyers. You're just not going to have people, you know, falling out of their loans and, you know, letting their houses go like we've done in the last 5 or 6, 7 years.
Right. And, you know, and that course has reduced greatly foreclosures and distressed homes. But, you know, the good news is that Fannie and Freddie have just encompassed not only they have put in, let's see, their 3% back in. Where you could do a 3% down. Now, what they were trying to do with that is that they were hoping that that would, you know, stimulate a lot new buyers out there in that. But, you know, it, like I said, the mortgage rates are the lowest they've been since May of 2013. But mortgage purchases are 5%. People are making applications on mortgages are 5% lower now than they were this time last year. So there's less people out there trying to make those mortgages, but there are a lot of different vehicles. As I said, also, if you're a veteran, VA is a great vehicle to do. You can, depending on what market you're in, you don't have to have any money down. And there's certain closing costs as a veteran you don't have to pay for, you can't pay for. So your seller has to pay for it or your lender.
So I want to go back to the banking thing for just a second because it just popped into my head here. Do we see any glut of homes being that had been foreclosed being still held by the bank, or have those units
like
been
a shadow inventory? They talk
right,
about
right.
that. There are a lot of homes that are still – they're much lessened. There's a lot of homes that are doing that. You'll see a lot more maybe than a few years ago of rent-to-own, where you have people that are upside down and they're, you know, selling those homes at that. You'll see a lot of companies out there doing that. But, no, you still have that as it, but not like what you saw in 2010, 2011, 2009.
Well, good, because I think that was really scary for a lot of folks thinking that, you know, if they were thinking about selling their house, you know, geez, I don't know if I really want to do that because, you know, the market's going to get flooded and then I'm really going to take a bath in what I can sell it for, especially now that it's becoming a buyer's market again. What are, as far as, you know, the buyers that are out there now, what are you hearing from the buyers on things that are must-haves and things that are, well, it'd be nice, but if I don't have it, that's okay?
Well, I guess that's individual to the buyer in the market. You know, I mean, are they looking for a condo? Are they looking for a single-family home? You know, there are certain things that they're doing. Are they buying all in cash? Are they doing substantial down where it's more than 25% down? Are they doing a conventional loan? You know, there's people out there that are doing conventional loans as low as 10% also, where, you know, they're doing a swing loan to pick up the other 20, so they don't have the mortgage insurance, which is really a smart thing to do because your mortgage insurance right now, which is still for life. So if it's something that you can do, you can beat that out, that could be a substantial savings in your payment each month.
And the mortgage insurance, having that change to be for life, that's new. It used to be until you had 20% down or something like that, and then
right.
It went away?
That went away sometime last year, yeah.
Ugh, okay. Well, I mean, I know we all have to kind of adjust to the new way we're doing it, but that's the way it is. So, any words of advice for people who might be thinking about selling their home or buying a home? Can we have your devil's advocate on both sides?
Well, you know what? If you're selling a home, I think it's a great time, too, because you have equity, which you necessarily, if you're looking at trying to sell your home in 2006 or 2007, maybe necessarily, depending if you're in Southern California or what part of the country you're in, you know, you didn't have that. I mean, for example, like here in Orange County, we're talking right now, the average median price home is just under $700,000, $690,000. In California right now, it's $450,000. And, of course, then in the U.S., I think the average median price home right now is a little over $208,000. So you can see the differences depending on the market that you're in.
Huge.
The best thing what you need to do is really decide on what's your motivation to sell. You know, are you and where you're going from? Are you selling your home because you're downsizing, or are you going into a larger home? You know, do you need more room, or are you relocating? You have to really identify that, and that really helps when you talk to your realtor. You know, associate yourself with. Get yourself a realtor and do some planning on that. You know, find out your motivation. Are you moving out of state? Do you need a larger home? Are you downsizing? You know, and it's funny, too, there's a lot of people that clients of mine this year and last year who were downsizing because of retiring, but necessarily I won't say they downsized. They actually just got it, and they actually, in some cases, got a larger home. They just moved into a different community. You know,
that
they went from a
two-story
home to a one-story home.
Yep.
And, you know, they moved from maybe a different part of Orange County to the inland of California.
Well, I think that's really interesting. Personally, in my day life that I sometimes actually do work in, I've had so many clients this year, John, that have said, yeah, I'm selling the house. And I'm not in real estate. I'm in relocation. I've had so many clients this year say, "Yeah, we're selling the house because we just want something smaller." And so I go and meet with them, and you know, so we can all kind of roll our eyes or laugh. But this is a client that I'm actually moving tomorrow down in the San Diego area. But they are going from an 8,500 square foot house. They wanted something smaller and more manageable, something around the 4,000 square foot range. And I just had, and they were serious. And I just kind of had to chuckle because for them that was a major, scaling back in their lifestyle. And I think most people would love to have a 4,000 square foot home, given the chance. And they had over double that. So,
it's all different. It's all really different. I have that same. Similar thing is I was at an open house, and the house was about 2,200 square feet, four-bedroom ranch style, very nice home. And, I had people come in, and they were talking about, and they were downsizing. Their home was almost 5,000 square feet, and, they're looking at something about that size. And, you have to laugh at a four-bedroom, three-bath house at 2,200 square feet is downsizing. So, that's all. It's all relative.
It's all relative,
An agent who's a Keller Williams agent, but more of a national agent, travels all over doing training with Keller Williams. And, I guess it matters on if you're in Texas, you have that 4,000 or 5,000 square foot house, three-car garage. And if you're then up in the Seattle or Washington area, you have a 1,200-1,400 square foot home.
Right.
So, it's and the prices are all there too. They're different there. And it's really when you're selling, you have to really identify your motivation, do your research, and associate yourself with a realtor, not just a real estate agent, but a realtor, and go over the comps and do your homework, see what's the best way to, one, sell your house the quickest and for the most money, because that's what a realtor wants to do, and they want to make sure that you're happy in doing that.
So I'm going to come back to the buying side of that question in just a second, but you made the statement about making sure that you're working with a realtor, not a real estate agent. What's the difference between that?
Well, somebody who's actually belonged to an association that's a local association or in a national association, they have they're a realtor. There's a lot of real estate agents out there that aren't realtors, or there are real estate consultants too out there. So you have to, and they all have different specialties. So you have to really see who you're talking to. But most of them, like I'm a Keller Williams agent, and I'm a realtor, and I'm out of an office here in Keller Williams. That we have two offices and over 600 agents, and most of them are realtors. So.
Very cool. Well, let's do this little shameless plug that we're going to do here for just a second. You mentioned Keller Williams. Can you give us a little bit of background about your time in real estate, why you've chosen Keller Williams, which office you actually work in? So if we have people that are listening in Southern California, if they're looking for a realtor, not a real estate agent, they can reach out and contact you.
Okay. Well, they could contact me at 714-244-5310. Or my website is www.johnbrashear.us. And I work in, the Anaheim Hills, it's Keller Williams, Anaheim Hills, Yorba Linda, North Tustin. And it's a great Keller Williams is a great organization. We are the largest franchise in North America. There's over 100,000 agents. And the philosophy of Keller Williams, it's also not only it's a teaching, you know, the continual teaching. And, of course, with the laws and all the other things that are going on, you have to have continual training. So I think that, that's kind of why I picked Keller Williams to be with.
Well, I know from years past when I lived back in Arizona and my cousins were in real estate, they were with a very large Keller Williams office in the East Valley. And one of the things that I was just always impressed with, and I have seen this firsthand with you too, John, but they're always offering continuing education courses, whether it's, you know, how to do this or how to do that. And some of them I thought were, even though they were kind of like off topic, they were still relevant. They were like, you know, how to dress for, you know, your clients. You know, you're not going to go in a, you know, ripped up Motley Crue t-shirt and your tennis shorts. You're going to be dressed a certain way. You know, what colors work better for you and what colors don't work for you, you know, as well as, you know, this is how you're going to do a presentation. I've always been impressed with the diversity and the range of training that they provide to their agents. So very, very
they
cool.
They do. And it's a continue on. I think that, it's just wonderful. It's really awesome, too, also the support that they give you. And it's also the support that they give their clients. And they make sure that, you know, one of the philosophies I'm actually looking at right now with Keller Williams is a win-win, then or there's no deal. And so that's pretty awesome right there.
The Y4C2Ts, right?
Yeah, you got it.
You have to know Keller Williams to do that. So if you want to know what the Y4C2Ts are, call John Brashear, and you know, you can ask him and then hopefully buy or sell a house with him. Let's get back to the buying side of the equation. We talked about the selling side for just a second. You know, what should sellers look out for? Why should they want to do it at a certain time? What about buyers? What should they look for in a real estate professional like yourself as a realtor? How many people should they interview besides just you? If, you know, they're just talking only to you, of course, that's the best choice. You know, how many properties should they, you know, take a look at? What kind of price ranges should they stay within if they know they need to be within a certain percentage and, you know, things like that?
It's a personalization. It really starts with themselves and do a lot of homework for themselves. First of all, they need to really, if they haven't already, and the realtor can help them now, they need to be pre-approved to find out that range that they're pre-approved for. And then knowing that they're, you know, once you buy your home, depending on if it's a single-family home or if it's a condo or if it's a fixer-upper or if it's a brand-new home, you know, those type of things. You know, they have to do their homework and find out what resonates with them. You know, and then they have to find that in a realtor that also is compatible with them. You know, everybody has their own personality, so, you know, they need to do that too. Finding out really how many homes they need to look at, that's again, a personalization. You know, I think if you look at it, that going back to it, 90% of all homes are sold on the Internet. You know, they have all these sites. Realtors have their own sites. But, you know, 90% of those homes are sold on that. And then I think 80% are a realtor networking, you know. So they find those homes. You know, once they get that range, then they can work with the realtor and have those homes that are presented to them. You know, there's just not homes that, of course, we have a multiple listing service, and, of course, multiple listing services across the nation. You know, they have those homes there. But then there's also homes that are coming up, or other realtors that you interface with know that those homes are coming up. And sometimes those are interesting to people because, you know, they can see something that maybe is brand new or something that hasn't been on the market. It's going back to more, I think a lot of realtors that I know, and I think so too, is going back to more of a conventional market from the last 10 years being so up and down, you know, volatile. You know, we were a seller's market the first part of the year, now we're going into a buyer's market. But it'd be really interesting to see if we turn into maybe a little bit more of a seller's market next year. You know, interest rates are low. They expected them in the beginning of the year to be about 5% at the end of the year. They didn't have that. Well, they're still, and when I say that, it's Freddie Mac is they're forecasting that it would be about 5% by the end of the year. So, you know, it's a good time if you are thinking about buying a home, is as rental prices are going up, to buy that as a first-time buyer. First-time buyer, there's first-time buyer programs out there. There's interest rates that are, you know, you can apply as low as 3% down. There's the 3.5, 5. You can even get a conventional, like I said, 10%. You know, really find what is compatible with your own financial picture and what you feel comfortable with. If that's with a major bank that you deal with, or if that's with a loan broker, or if that's with your credit union, you know, or if you're an independent broker from there.
So my last question, and then I'm going to just kind of throw it out to you, John, for anything else you want to add. If I decided that I wanted to buy a house today, and I know this is kind of like, if I say, what's the average time? Because you're like, oh, Lord, he's going to ask that. But what's the average time from the time that I say, okay, I'm going to contact a realtor and I'm going to talk to John and start going through the process. From the time that I make that first contact, how long does it usually take to go through the process to find, you know, do the home search and then go through the loan process and, you know, get, you know, or escrow process and that? Is it, you know, is it like 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? How soon should people plan in advance?
Well, you know, it's funny. Average, if you look at it, most people looking before they contact Run Realtor, they might go out to some open houses, get some ideas, you know, depending on if they have a house to sell already or if they're moving out of state or they're moving to a different state, relocating, or they're staying in different areas. Those are all, you know, major caveats. But it's really, if they start on the Internet on themselves to when they buy, it's anywhere from a 6 months to an 18-month process. And it's a lot of people. Now, if you're already motivated and you decided you have that, you already have your, you know, you've already know that you where you're going to go get your loan, and if that's what the case, or if you're lucky enough you can pay cash, you know, you those motivations, of course, speeds up that, you know, process. It actually, buying a home today, you can buy one. If you decide you want to do that, you get yourself pre-approved, or if you have cash, you can buy it this week, you know.
Wow.
Start open escrow, and you can close in, you know, under 30 days.
That's staggering. I would have thought it would have been more like that 8 to 18 month process that you were talking about. So,
well, I think a lot of people do that because, you know, they have to find which home they're in the area or they're looking at. But I think a lot of people that we're talking to that are buyers out there, I think they already have in their mind, you know, an area that they want and a price that they know. They've already done investigations if they're talking to their bank that they deal with, or if they're talking to an independent loan broker, or if they're talking to their credit union. A lot of people do use credit unions.
I love credit unions as well. I don't have, you know, I'm back in Arizona, I was with a credit union forever, but when I came out here, I just ended up going to one of the national banks, and, you know, they're fine. But anyway, that's a whole different show completely, John. So any last real estate or home buying, home selling tips that you would like to give the listeners for the evening?
Well, you know, I just that, you know, if they're a seller, you know, I just wanted to let everybody know that I think, and I'm just looking at statistics, most people usually go with the first realtor they talk to. If they want to talk to a few others, that's always great for a second opinion. Lots of times it might not be a second opinion. It might be just a different perspective. You know, I just think it's a great time to buy or sell real estate. Or if you are thinking about necessarily trading up, don't try to trade up. Consider trying to keep that home and use it as a rental property and buy a second piece of property. I really think that the way real estate's going, there's a lot of growth in there still.
I like that idea. And having two pieces of property is never a bad thing.
No, it's not. No. And buying any kind of real estate, it isn't a bad thing.
Okay. So now that our official conversation is concluded here, after I ask you this, before I let you go, make sure to tell us where people can find you again. I'm going to ask you one question regarding the holidays here, and then I'd love a colorful answer if you have one to share. What's your favorite Christmas song and why?
White Christmas.
Or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Thanksgiving or New Year's Eve or any
white
other
Christmas
type of song that you would like.
Oh, white
I don't
Christmas.
Know.
That's the best.
Oh, I thought you said why Christmas, and I was like, okay.
Why? Oh, I said white Christmas.
That's good.
I'm gonna put I get to put my miracle ear back in and turn that up. Okay, so why White Christmas?
Well, because it's a classic. Come on, you know, the old movie White Christmas.
Okay, and do you have a favorite artist that sings it, or do you like it any version that comes on?
Any version.
Okay, fair enough. Everybody, it's been John Brashear, our real estate expert. Thank you very much for being here. Remind everybody one more time where they can find you, then we're going to go to some Christmas music, including White Christmas, next.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Garrett. 714-244-5310, and you can check my site out at www.johnbrashear.us.
There we go. Everybody, hang on the line. We're going to go to some Christmas music. If you've got a request, call it in, 323-657-1493. Here's my Guess What It's Christmas Time.
Well, you might not think it's Christmas with the sunshine in the trees. You might not even think of Santa Claus with his dogs down by the beach. Oh, their tails, they are a-wagging, wagging here to there. And the joyous sounds of barking without care. Bathed and clipped with bells and bows, how they love to lick your nose. And old Saint Nicky knew. And guess what? It's Christmas time for you. Christmas without your winter clothes. You might want a tiny puppy or one with a big brown nose. Either way, you'll feel so happy with love from Santa's sleigh and playing with your puppy Christmas Day. Bathed and clipped with bells and bows.
Christmas Time. It's available on iTunes with the album Eyes Wide for a bargain at $3.96. I said go to iTunes, Amazon. Shoot, it's on every imaginable downloadable source in the world. So you can get it there today. The video, Guess What It's Christmas Time, is also on YouTube. It's just gotten a huge pickup in the last couple of weeks, obviously, because of the holiday, so that's really cool to see. We're going to play White Christmas now. This is from a recent guest on the show, Shauna Burns, and she came out and told the story about what Christmas meant to her and why every Christmas her mom would start playing and singing White Christmas to her. And so when she had the opportunity to make some music, She recorded this for her mom, Joyce. So this is Shauna Burns' version of White Christmas, and we're going to play some other Christmas music for you in the next half an hour. And if you've got a request, again, feel free to give us a shout at 323-657-1493. Otherwise, just enjoy the music.
Straight from the heart,
That's a little winter wonderland for you. Don't forget tomorrow, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 East. We've got Scott Lawrence coming on to play his original music in hour one of the Friday Night Dance Party. In hour two, it is going to be all listener requests. And since we're in the holiday season, we may be playing some Christmas music in hour two. It's all up to you because you call the shots. Special thanks again to John Brashear of Keller Williams Realty here in Southern California for being our VIP special guest star earlier tonight. And we will see you live tomorrow on the Friday Night Dance Party, the last live show for 2014. Be there or be square.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.